paranormal. Baby. That cannot be explained by scientific methods.
Told of a creature that was 6.5 to 7 feet tall.
The CIA ran secret mind control experiments.
It's a tale of a creature that's been seen by many, but believed by few.
And experts say there have been reported sightings of paranormal activity.
And there was this creature, and it ran down this hill.
They say something was flying over their house, and they have no idea what it was.
How the world's most powerful individuals are actually shape-shifting reptilians.
My scariest ghost hunting experience.
It off. Reality. Radio.
And welcome, everybody. It's Beyond Reality Radio. I'm JV Johnson. Jason Hawes, who normally is with me on the program, of course, is off actually overseas. He's in the UK. He's filming a show with the BBC TV there. It's live, apparently. I actually tried to go on the BBC website and figure out exactly what, when this was airing. I couldn't find anywhere, so I'm going to have to shoot him a text and see what the deal is, because maybe we can get some audio cuts from it or something, because I'd love to figure out exactly what's going on over there and what he's doing. But he's there all week. We'll be doing shows here, of course. We've actually got some great stuff lined up. I'm excited about tonight's show. Don't forget, coming up in our second hour, Nate and Kaylee Ratterman of the Museum of Shadows, which is a very haunted museum, one of the most haunted in the world. We'll be talking with them. They're also paranormal investigators, and they've got over 1,300 haunted artifacts in the museum. Coming up in our next hour, Nate and Kaylee Ratterman will join us from the Museum of Shadows. They're also paranormal investigators. They do haunted tours or ghost tours as well. We'll be talking to them in just a moment. Don't go away. It's Beyond Reality Radio with JV. Jason's off tonight. Well, kind of. I'm here anyway. It's JV Johnson. Jason is actually in the UK doing a week-long live television program. Well, it doesn't last all week. It's just in the evenings for a week. And there's information posted in the chat room if you're looking for more details on what he's up to over there. And I believe it's on our Facebook. I think Slick put it up there. But welcome to Beyond Reality Radio. I'm JV Johnson. We've got a great show tonight. We're going to be bringing in Nate and Kaylee Ratterman from the Museum of Shadows. They're also paranormal investigators. We're going to be talking about the museum, also the haunted artifacts that they have there, over 1,300 haunted artifacts. And we all know that, this type of phenomenon can attach itself to an object. And many of those objects are in this museum. So we're going to be talking about that. Our phone number is 844-687-7669. We'll take calls later in the program if you want to join us. So write down that phone number. Also stop by Facebook and our website. Look for the Beyond Reality Radio official coffee mug. It's a great way to show your support for the show. Make other people jealous because it's such a great looking mug. I'm looking at mine right now. I've got no coffee in here, Slick. Someone should take care of that, though. Let's see here. What else do we have going on? Don't forget, tomorrow night, Dr. Susan Shumsky will join us to talk about her book, The Maharishi and Me, Seeking Enlightenment with the Beatles Guru. It's an insider's take on what really went on in the Maharishi's world, revealing secret transcendental meditation practices and what happens during the Beatles' time with the Maharishi. That was quite an event around the world as the Beatles kind of legitimized all of that, and it's a pretty interesting time. So we'll be talking with Dr. Susan Shumsky tomorrow night about that. We've got a best of program for Thursday and always on Friday night. And then we'll be back and Jason will be back with us next week as well. So once again, the phone number is 844-687-7669. I also want to remind you that the Scaricon guest list is being announced. If you haven't heard about Scaricon, it's a great event that features paranormal and horror film celebrities. It's a bit of a fan convention, autograph convention, if you will. And the next one coming up is in Framingham, Massachusetts, the weekend of June 15th. There will be information about guests and schedules posted on the website and also the Facebook page. It's just scaricon.com. I don't think there's anything posted there yet, but it will start going up. I know that Cassandra Peterson, who's better known as Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, was just announced, as well as some other guests too. Okay, so let's see. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll bring our guests for this hour in. Again, it's Nate and Kaylee Ratterman from the Museum of Shadows. It's Beyond Reality Radio. I'm JV. Don't go away. All right, welcome back to the show. It's Beyond Reality Radio. I'm J.V. Johnson. Thanks so much for joining me on this journey tonight. Our phone number is 844-687-7669. We'll open up our phone lines a little bit later in case you have a question or want to join our conversation. Our guests this hour are owners of the Museum of Shadows, Nate and Kaylee. Nate and Kaylee, welcome to Beyond Reality Radio. It's great to have both of you on the show tonight.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, you're welcome. So first, the Museum of Shadows, we've already had people in our chat room asking, it's a legitimate and certainly obvious question, is located where?
It's located in Plattsmouth, Nebraska. It's at 502 Main Street.
502 Main Street in Plattsmouth, Nebraska. Now, is Plattsmouth known for something specifically haunted, or is there something specifically paranormal about the area, or is it just happen to be where you are?
Well, the town has a lot of history to it. There's even been, as far as like, you know, hauntings and human remains being found dating back into like the 1800s. So it's a very, very active town. And that's one of the main reasons why we chose it to have our museum there.
You both are also paranormal investigators, so you developed an interest in the paranormal and ultimately opened the Museum of Shadows, which, by the way, the website is museumofshadows.com. It's pretty easy to remember. Tell us, I want to each take a turn here. Kaylee, we'll start with you. How did you develop your interest in paranormal topics, specifically ghost hunting type stuff?
Well, actually, it kind of started when I was younger. I've always been sensitive to some sort of energy or spirit activity. So my story is a little bit different as to where I've always been able to sense spirit and energy. I've always been able to tell something was there. So about 4 years ago, I found out that my now husband was looking for another person to join his investigating team. And so I was just really excited to join and kind of learn more about the paranormal and the unknown, other than what I had experienced growing up and my family and kind of the craziness that I had endured.
Now, Kaylee, you said that you had some sensitivities and you've always had them. What were the types of things that were making you aware of those sensitivities? Were you seeing things? Were you feeling things? Were you hearing things? What was going on?
A little bit of all of the above, I guess. I would have dreams about what would happen before it would actually happen, starting from around when I was 6 years old. And it kind of developed from there. I was able to hear, I was able to see certain spirit energy. So it's been definitely a unique experience. I'm a lot more used to it and grown into it now that I'm older. And it's pretty amazing to be able to experience some of these things. So,
did it frighten you as a child?
Absolutely. It was very scary. And, you know, a lot of people didn't believe me, of course, and just assumed I kind of had a crazy imagination, and which a lot of people do that aren't able to experience energies or spirit activity around them. So some of it I would hold back and not tell everybody what I was seeing, and other times I would kind of let them know and left it up to them whether or not they would believe what I was saying or what I was seeing around me.
Yeah, a lot of times when we talk with people who have these sensitivities, and especially at a young age, a couple things tend to happen. One is that parents or other adult figures try to squash it, try to kind of say, don't pay attention to that. That's nothing. You're making it up. It's a pretend friend or whatever it is. But then your peers kind of raise an eyebrow as you start trying to share this. Is that the experience that you had as a child with this?
Pretty much, yeah. I was lucky enough to have a very open and understanding mom. So I was able to share this stuff with her, and she would listen to me and was very supportive as to where other people I would tell were very quick to brush it off and say, no, you're not seeing that. You're not experiencing that. So I learned really quick who I could share information with and who I would kind of just keep it to myself, I guess you could say.
Do you have any of your own children?
I do. I have three.
Oh, wow. Okay. Do they have any? I mean, maybe they're too young. I don't know their ages, but as a mom who went through this, I would imagine if they start to show some of these characteristics, you would encourage it, I would imagine.
Absolutely. actually, all three of my kids are pretty sensitive to spirit energy as well. A couple more than others. They are actually 14, 11, and 8 now.
Okay.
And I'm very open with them. You know, they know my abilities and different things I can sense, and I've never pushed it on them, but as they would experience things, of course, I would make them feel comfortable about it and help them to understand at least what they were seeing or hearing, or making them feel more comfortable about it so it wasn't quite as scary for them.
Nate, you had an experience along the way that kind of turned everything around for you and created a real desire to get some answers. Tell us what happened.
Well, in 2006, I was actually more of a skeptic. I was, I guess, say 50-50. If you told me ghosts exist or spirits exist, I would be like, okay, show me the proof. I moved into a house and strange things started happening. Doors would open and close to actually eventually seeing a full figure apparition of an older gentleman literally come up from the basement and stand right there in the kitchen and looked right at me. And I wanted, you know, to get more evidence, to get more answers, and to understand as to why I was seeing this stuff and experiencing these things. And from there, you know, it led into helping others around the world. And but yeah, that's kind of how I.
So what you're telling us, tell Nate, what be prepared for a little backlash here, because what you're telling us is the experience that most of us yearn for and look for a good portion of our lives. That's how you started, a full-bodied apparition.
Yeah, well, I mean, it started out with small stuff, you know, like the doors, and then, you know, maybe cupboard doors or something moving or appliances malfunctioning or turning on in different hours of the night. And then all of a sudden you could hear footsteps, and then literally just as time went on, then finally seeing that at full figure apparition. And what's really interesting, too, about it is I was able to, upon doing research on the home, I found out that a person was actually killed in the house, and I saw a photo of that person, and that was exactly the figure I seen.
Wow.
So it was pretty neat and very interesting, for sure.
Were you alone in the, did you live in that house alone at the time, or were there other people in the house with you?
I lived in the house for a portion of it alone, and then the person I was with at the time, literally, you know, they started seeing things, but and then shortly after that, I ended up actually moving. So, but I lived there for about 4 years prior to moving.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, if anybody else in the home experienced some of the same things. And then I imagine you probably didn't, or maybe you did. Did you have the wherewithal after you saw the full-bodied apparition to try to capture some of that on camera or video or something?
Yeah, so after I started, you know, seeing all this stuff and the apparition, I started setting up DVR systems, kind of putting cameras around the entire house. Also, you know, just rolling audio 24/7. I even hosted like a little live feed just so people from around the world could literally help keep an eye on it along with me. And if they saw anything, they could, you know, let me know a specific time and I can go back as well. But then I started getting all this evidence and just kind of putting it out there and, you know, getting answers for myself and doing all the studying and the research and stuff. And it's just so amazing just to be able to capture something and then not being able to, you know, disprove it as well. Cause that's one of my biggest things is I always like to disprove something first before I actually say that it's something paranormal or unexplained.
Right. And I think that's something that, that the show Ghost Hunters and the TAPS organization really, taught a lot of people. And I'm not sure that's where you got it from, but I do know that a lot of paranormal groups, that existed prior to the show being on the air, handled things a little bit differently. And when TAPS came in and really went into disprove versus prove, and when they couldn't debunk or disprove something, then they would have to consider other options. But it really changed the paradigm for the way people do their investigations.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was a big fan of TAPS when they first came out. They taught a lot to me. I know a lot of them personally as well. And I still learn from a lot of them as even as We've progressed into the field, just like, you know, every team does. But yeah, they helped a lot of people and to kind of take a different approach to it, to basically rule out everything prior to, you know, that way you can actually say, okay, well, it was the furnace at this time that caused the door to close, or it was something actually unexplained.
Yeah, and by doing that, I think it also added some legitimacy to the field that may not have existed prior to that. If people felt as though you were going in to prove a haunting versus disprove or find reasons that may rationally explain whatever activity was going on, I think it just changed the way even non-believers or skeptics looked at the whole thing. We're going to talk about the Museum of Shadows when we come back for the break. We have about a minute left here before we have to go into commercial. Tell us about your group and how long you've been out investigating cases.
Well, my team is Trip Paranormal, and we've been investigating since 2006. And we do travel all over the world and investigate different locations as well to prove or disprove a haunting. Yeah, and we also have the museum, which, as you mentioned, we'll talk about here shortly.
Yeah, we'll get to that after the break. Tell me, we've got about a minute here, maybe a little bit less. What are the top two or three places that you've gone out and investigated as a group?
We've investigated, like, the Alcatraz and, you know, Belvoir Winery and Liberty, Missouri, a lot of residentials, other, you know, prisons, jails, insane asylums, like Pennhurst. I mean, we've even went international. We've been to, like, Dracula's Castle, to Dull of the Islands.
So you've done some of the hot spots. You've been to some of the great locations.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's do this. We're going to take we got to jump into break here. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Museum of Shadows a little bit more. Plus, we'll find out some more about some of these investigations that your group has done. It's Beyond Reality Radio. We're talking with Nate and Kaylee from the Museum of Shadows. The website is museumofshadows.com. Our phone number is 844-687-7669. We'll open up those phone lines for questions in a little bit. Don't go away. It's Beyond Reality Radio. I'm JV. Now, welcome back to the show. It is Beyond Reality Radio. I'm JV Johnson. Thanks to everybody for joining us. Thanks to all the great radio stations around the country for carrying the program. We love the affiliates that have signed on to carry the show. We love the people that we're talking to bring the show on their radio stations. And we look forward to a bunch more in the future. It's great stuff. Thanks for joining us and being part of the family. Our phone number is 844-687-7669. We will take calls and questions a little bit later in the program. We're talking with Nate and Kaylee, who own the Museum of Shadows. They also are paranormal investigators. We've been talking about a whole bunch of stuff. And I wanted to start talking about the museum. At what point did you decide that you wanted to open up a museum? It's not something that people often think of, but you did. What made you do it, and when did you do it?
Well, actually, back in, when I mentioned earlier, back in 2006, kind of when I started my whole investigating, so one of the main things I thought of is, literally right as soon as I moved into the house, I literally bought a bunch of items at a yard sale. So I was thinking maybe there was something attached to it. Turns out it wasn't. It was actually somebody that was killed in the house. And I literally went to Twitter, you know, kind of just tweeting about it and what I thought it was at the time. And then people from around the world just started sending me all these items that they believed had some sort of spiritual attachment to it. And from there, it just kept building and building. And we started doing research into them and kind of making sure to see if there's even something attached to those items as well. And then kind of going through all that stuff. And that's basically how the museum got started, is we were like, what are we going to do with all this stuff? So let's put it on display. Let's let people read all these the stories, the history behind it, and let them check it out.
When somebody sends you an item, what is the process that you go through to determine whether or not something spiritual is attached to it?
Well, what we do is, before, say you were going to send me an item, before you even send it, we would have you remove that item from the home just to make sure, or business, to see if, you know, the activity would stop. And if it does, then we know that's the right item. They could send it to us. Then once we receive it, it goes through our quarantine process, which we have a separate building aside from the museum, where every item is researched. Their story that they experienced is researched. If anybody's been killed with it, we have two law enforcement officers who work with us. They pull records where need be, whether it's medical, that sort of thing, or police records, to basically validate the stories to make sure that it's actually legit prior to coming into the actual museum. And then also during that same time, we go in to each item's placed into its own room. We go in and actually investigate it with top-of-the-line equipment, and everything usually runs about a two-week process, sometimes longer, depending on the activity. And if there's nothing attached, we offer the item back to the person that donated it.
Now, we've all heard of things going up on eBay. I think not too long ago, there was a doll on eBay that was purported to be haunted, and it went for some crazy money, if I remember correctly. What is it about the marketplace that people are just fascinated by items that have a reputation of being haunted?
I think everybody just wants to, you know, have something just to say that they have something that's haunted and just to see and experience stuff for themselves.
Have you gotten
we
any?
We do have a lot of.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Sorry. We do have a lot of people come into. I was going to mention they even inquire about wanting to buy our artifacts, which we like to put out there. That's not what we do. That's not what they're there for. They're there for people to come in and experience them for themselves and see what energy they feel and be able to read the stories behind them, because a lot of them are very historical and unique as well. But we don't sell any of our items, and we actually have not purchased any of our items. They've all been donated. So that's really unique about the museum as well.
Yeah, that's actually got to be very gratifying that people seek you out for that. Have you ever had somebody contact you with an item that was actually somewhat malicious or causing some type of turmoil within their home or wherever it happened to have been stored, and they're actually afraid of the item, trying to get rid of it?
We have. We have had items, a couple different people that have donated something that they believed was something lower realm or, as you would say, demonic that was attached to it. One of the cases turned out it was just a very intelligent spirit. It was nothing, you know, negative or anything like that. But the other case, we did have something as to where there was something a little darker, a little more malicious that was attached. And right now, that's still in our quarantine building. We're still kind of using it as an observation just to kind of see what's going on. Closely monitoring that, and it's been in there for about a year now, actually.
Now, if you determine that there is some type of demonic activity associated with the item, is that something you would still bring into the museum?
No, actually, I would not, just because I wouldn't want, for myself, I wouldn't want to be around it, and I don't think anybody else should, just because there is something demonic or lower realm that, you know, would be attached. I just think for everybody's safety, it would be best that, and you know, even mine and my staff, just not to be around that.
Let's go to the listener line here. Let's bring in Justin. Justin is a great friend of the program, calling in from Missouri. Hey, Justin, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. If you were to want to make a full-body apparition talk, how would you maybe go about that?
Ask the question again, Justin.
If you were to maybe want to make a full-body apparition talk, how would you maybe go about that?
Okay, so if you saw a full-bodied apparition and you were trying to communicate with it, I think is what we're talking about here, how would you do it, Nate?
So if we actually physically seen the full-body apparition, I would just talk to them just like I'm talking now. I would just carry on a normal conversation, see if I could get them to respond and possibly talk back if they can. Because you got to remember, most spirits, some of them don't know that they've actually passed, and others that do know, they might just be showing themselves just to say, hey, I'm here, you know, and that's just kind of observing and watching.
Does that help you out, Justin?
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Thanks so much for the phone call. We love it when Justin calls the program. Kaylee, have you seen a full-bodied apparition, or is Nate the one that's privileged here with that?
I've actually seen multiple full-bodied apparitions in our museum.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We do have a lady named Sarah. She was stabbed 97 times in our building, ended up passing there. Back in the early 1900s, she was part of the brothel. There was a saloon and brothel in the building. It was actually built in 1881. And she's shown herself numerous times. We've had people there doing events or ghost hunts that we host in the evenings there about four times a week. We've had several evenings where everyone in the group has actually experienced being able to see her. So it's pretty amazing to be able to experience that. It definitely can be startling at first, you know, when you're not expecting it, but definitely amazing.
Well, that brings up a bigger question as in regards to the museum. With all the artifacts you've got in there, housed in there, that all have something attached to them, do you have cameras running? Do you have other surveillance type equipment, whether it's audio recorders or whatever, monitoring activity? Because it seems like you'd be able to capture a lot of pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, we have over 355 cameras that are monitoring all three different levels right now. We have an attic area, so if you want to count that as the fourth. But we do have all that along with audio. There's always something day or night that goes on. Doors will open and close. Items will just randomly just go flying off the shelves. We have an area called Doll Hall. They'll go literally fly off the shelf. And then, of course, we have Ada. She's been voted one of the most haunted dolls in the world. Pretty much on a daily basis, even when people are just touring through the museum, they come there just to see her right away. They're like, where's she at? And they talk to her, and her head or her arm or something will move. There's been, as Kaylee mentioned, during our ghost hunts in the evenings, everybody got to see her move, and along with all the other items just randomly. There's so much activity that goes on, but we're always capturing something. But we also have two camera guys that watch 24/7, so there's always somebody watching what's going on in the museum, just so that way if they see something right then and there, or something that looks, a little suspicious, they'll document the time and then pull the footage immediately and then send it to us.
Tell us about the doll. What's the history of the doll?
Ada, she was, she was actually manufactured in Germany in the early, 1890s. And she, basically from Germany, she ended up somewhere to a local town here in Nebraska. And they found her in a house, or it's like an outside loft area. And she creeped out the family, so they ended up throwing her away. And she went to a landfill and then ended up back 2 years later. And they found her in the exact same spot. And so the lady threw her away, went inside, told her husband. And when she came back, or they came back outside, she was halfway up the driveway and was out of the trash can. So that's when they called us and asked us and begged us to please come get this doll, because they weren't going to drive anywhere with it. And just what everything, that they experienced, the doll coming back, and they were just, really freaked out. And when we got there to actually get the doll, he was the person that donated, he was really shaking and really nervous, and we couldn't actually see what the doll looked like because it was wrapped in several different bags, and it was very interesting. It was an interesting ride back to the quarantine building.
I talk to a lot of people on this program about this topic and these types of things, but I have to say, very few times do I have shivers run up and down my spine, and you just did it with the story there of the doll. That is really spooky. And since the doll's been in your possession, has anything unusual happened specific to the doll?
Well, she was, she's in a box or in a case now, that's built for her. And we had a screen type thing that was in front of her until we got the glass put in. But we ended up cutting that out right before the eclipse, just because with all that extra energy, we wanted to see if she would actually move and that sort of thing, and seeing if it would help a little bit. And she did. And then just recently, she, you know, tried crawling. We have video footage out there on our Facebook and Twitter pages and stuff of her crawling out. And she actually cracked her shoulder. And it was at like 2:30-ish in the morning when this happened. It actually triggered our motion sensors and actually dispatched the police, even though we knew nobody was in the building because of our camera guys. But now she has glass in front of her for her own safety, just so she doesn't fall off the table and that she's on and break. But
very
active.
Yeah, that's amazing, actually. Let's we have to take a quick break here. When we come back, we've got a few more minutes with Nate and Kaylee from the Museum of Shadows. It's Beyond Reality Radio. I'm JV. Don't go away. All right, welcome back to the show. It's Beyond Reality Radio. We're talking with Nate and Kaylee from the Museum of Shadows. And I got to tell you guys, our producer, Slick Eddie, just came out of the production booth and is afraid to go outside after the show because of the doll story. This thing is really shaking our staff up. So you should be proud of that anyway. We only have a few minutes left. Kaylee, I know that you've got another website. I think it's just your name. And you offer Reiki and I think psychic readings and stuff, right?
I do energy healings. I'm a Reiki master and Kundalini master. So I do energy healing for people, and I do medium type readings. So just anything I can do to help people. I like to be able to connect them with loved ones that have passed on, and that helps me give back a little as well. So
now,
going
back to the museum, I see even on the website, and again, that's museumofshadows.com, I see that you have something highlighted known as the death room. What is that?
Well, the death room we have, it's own little room. We have a bunch of like different embalming tables in there. Another lady that worked in the brothel on the floor above back in the early like 1800s. Literally was killed right there. We actually have a weapon that was found in the ceiling, and it was tested just to see if there was anything on it, and there was actual human DNA on it. She was also, she was killed in there. Is it possible that that's the weapon? We may never know, but it's just kind of interesting that it was found literally a few feet in the ceiling from where she was found.
So the more you talk, Nate, the more I think Plattsmouth, Nebraska is a place that you got to have a little courage to go to.
Oh yeah, it's the town itself. I mean, as I mentioned, they have just so much history to it. There was 80 skulls literally found just on the other side of the block or across the street from our museum, and they were just. That there was only one complete skeleton that was there out of all those 80 skulls. And when they dated the skulls back, it was 50 to 60 years prior to 1913. Mm. So it's just a lot of interesting stuff. Not sure why the 30 or the 80 skulls would just be just randomly buried there, but I don't know.
Well, we've got about a minute left. And when it comes to the museum, what are your hours? Are you open year round? What do people need to know?
We are open year-round, and we're open Wednesday through Sunday. The hours Wednesday through Saturday are 10 to 5, and then Sundays are 12 to 4. And then we do offer the ghost hunts in the evenings, where you can just get tickets on museumofshadows.com. And you can check us out on all social media platforms, from Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, just at Museum of Shadows. So.
At some point, Jason and I are going to do a Beyond Reality Radio bus tour of the most interesting paranormal places in the country, and I think the Museum of Shadows is going to be on that list.
That would be perfect. We would love to have you guys there.
Thanks so much for joining us tonight. It's been a great conversation, very fascinating. We're all going to have nightmares about the doll, and we have you to thank for it.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure. Glad to be here.
All right. Again, the website is museumofshadows.com. Stop by. There's a whole bunch of information there about the museum. The hours and everything are posted there as well. And you know, make sure you check that out. It was a great conversation. Tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about the Maharishi. We're going to be talking about the Beatles, and we're going to be talking about their time with the Maharishi and transcendental meditation. It's going to be an interesting discussion with Dr. Susan Shumsky, and her new book is called The Maharishi and Me, Seeking Enlightenment with the Beatles Guru. So join us for that. Thursday night will be a pre-recorded best of program, as will Friday night. And then next week, we'll get into live programs again when Jason gets back from the UK. Thanks to everybody for joining me. I had a great time. Thanks to our guests. It was a great show. We'll be back tomorrow night. It's Beyond Reality Radio. Take care and have a great night.
Beyond Reality Radio is hosted by Jason Hawes and JV Johnson and produced by Alexandria Johnson and Slick Eddie Edwards for Entercom Radio. Beyond Reality Radio is distributed by Westwood One Radio Networks. Stop by our Facebook page and say hello. Follow the hosts on Facebook as well. For Jason Hawes, follow at jasonhawes.taps. For JV Johnson, follow at jvjparanormal. If you'd like to be a guest on Beyond Reality Radio or you have a suggestion for a guest, contact Slick Eddie Edwards at slickeddieedwards@gmail.com. Be sure to visit our chat room as well at beyondrealityradio.com. Thanks for listening.